Start.
Movement.
Speak.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamite.
Islamite.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all of time.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, sisters and brothers from all around the world, you're listening to me from RRIB English Radio, and this is Youth Station. I am Beta, a medical student at your service, and today I have the pleasure to have brother Muzaffar with me. Hello brother, how are you doing?
Assalamu alaikum sister.
Choo-choo-ka-choo,
it's the youth station for you. Why does nobody do that? They hold back and then they...
Okay, go on, as the way you like.
So one of the most important and perhaps neglected concepts of Islam is Amr bil ma'ruf wa nahi anil munkar, right? The enjoining of good and forbidding evil. Now, it should be pretty obvious that as Muslims, we're supposed to push for good things and stop evil from taking place. It kind of makes you a kind of a superhero. You know, you're supposed to aim to be a kind of superhero.
At all. You know, I'm against that thought that you have to be complete to criticize other people. You know, you shouldn't be perfect because you cannot be perfect as a human being. We have defects. We have problems. It doesn't mean that you have to be completely perfect to tell other people what is true and what is not. When you have the knowledge, even if that knowledge is not that much useful to you, you can actually invite other people through this knowledge. Maybe the other person, you know, would act as a way that is a good way, you know, to towards any guidelines and morality or anything. So I think this is everybody's responsibility as a human being, not a Muslim only, as a human being to invite other people to good things and forbid them from bad things, actually. This is my opinion about this matter.
Well, that's actually a good point. And it's not one you usually hear. There's actually a hadith where these people went to the Imam alayhi salam and they said, we don't tell others to do something unless we're doing it ourselves. And the Imam actually said to them, no, even if you're not doing it yourself, still tell others to do it.
Yeah.
Because it's a good thing. You should tell people to do it.
Yeah, actually, I do agree with that one. But, you know, when someone doesn't want to do something, you know, they have many excuses, you know that. For example, you are not doing the thing and then you're telling me to do that. I won't accept it because you are, for example, a double-faced person or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
We go through the road of judging others because we're going to, you know, inverting and turning the blame to some other people when they tell us, for example, to do or not to do something.
Yeah.
You know, and I think this guard actually some kind of natural for him and being, but I don't like it. But at the same time, I think unfortunately in the world, not only in Islamic societies, there aren't any good ways to actually tell others what to do or not what to do. I mean, we have to be so soft to other people in a manner, in a way, in words that can be so beautiful to persuade that person to go for good things and, you know, just forbid them from bad things. But we cannot actually do that, you know. And I think this is the problem of this responsibility of ours.
I think another thing about this topic is how it's not restricted to the things that we would normally think that they're restricted to. When you think of Nahi an al-Munkar, especially nowadays, people think of, for example, hijab, you know, or they think of somebody drinking alcohol or some other drugs, I don't know, things like that. But
yeah,
if you zoom out a little bit, this is actually an Islamic concept which is a general principle for everything in life. So, for example, in the political sphere, if you're a politician, do you have a duty, you know, to tell other politicians and to try to implement those policies in society which will have a good benefit, which will benefit the society rather than those things which will harm the society. In the economic sphere, for example, if you're an economist, you should tell people to invest into good things and to boycott those evil things, etc. You know, it applies to every field of life.
And yeah,
for me, it's kind of like, no matter which field you're in, I mean, you're in the medical field, I'm in the media field, etc. Whichever field you're in, there's an opportunity for you to be a kind of a hero. You don't like this term?
No, I don't like it. at all. Because heroism is, I think, a level of perfection is when I don't like it. It's like you are telling about someone which is superior than other people. And it feels like, okay, if that person is superior than me, what is the reason that, for example, this person considers himself or herself as a superior creature? We are the same. You know, we are both humans. We are both some opportunities. We have both some abilities. And I cannot accept this feeling of difference, this feeling of gap between our levels. You know what? And this feeling makes me have guards toward that person and that word.
There is a level of superiority, and that superiority shouldn't be there, like the judgment. I understand what you're saying there. But if you see some evil taking place, mm-hmm. you're not talking about the person. The person might be better than you, but that particular action that they're doing is certainly an evil action. And that action needs to be stopped. I'll give you an example. If you see a woman, mm-hmm. an old lady being robbed in the street, right? And this guy's just stolen her purse. Now, if you just stand there thinking, maybe that robber is better than me, you know, you've completely failed. You didn't realize what it was all about. No, you need to be on your toes. Do nahi anil munkar. You know, dive in there, get that purse back, beat him up if you need to, and bring it back to the old lady.
Yeah.
It's very important. That's what I mean by being a hero.
I know what you mean, but the thing is, actually, we know that, for example, when a person is there, when a woman is there and someone is stealing her wallet or something, nobody actually do something. But I think the reason behind, the root behind this action that nobody do anything, nobody does anything about that person, is not the thinking that, okay, maybe that person is better than me or something like that. The reason that a person doesn't do anything is the way of mindset, the way of perspective that why should I do the other person? So, my dear brother, let's go for a short break then. We're going to come back and, you know, go on this hot topic.
This is IRIB English Radio. You are listening to Youth Station.
Welcome back, dear listeners. We are here at Youth Station and we're talking about a nice topic.
Amr bil ma'aluf wa nahi anil munkar. The enjoining of good and forbidding evil. Evil things happen when the good do nothing. You know, and that's really what Islam is addressing through the concept of nahi anil munkar, mm-hmm. forbidding the evil. If you see evil taking place, if you see somebody being harmed, if you see some sort of flaw which is in society, and you don't step forward to stop that evil from taking place, and you just expect, oh, somebody else will do it, that's the problem right there.
There is another question for me. And there is another perspective of looking at this matter and issue, I think. For example, you have a special mindset. I know there are some typical guidelines. There is religion. There is many things that tells us what is right and what is wrong. But sometimes you have a special mindset about something, you know. And because of your special mindset about something, you will excuse your action of forcing someone to have the same thought as you by the words of Nahiyas Munkar or something. This is a part of, for example, somebody's culture, but you don't believe in that. And this cultural conflict will lead you to think in a way that, okay, I have to tell that person not to do that. And you excuse your action, which may not be true, as Nahi and Munkar.
I suppose so. So, for example, in certain cultures, they insist on marriage only between the same race. Or that person has to be married and, you know, you have to get married to a certain someone who is from your same society. They speak the same language. They're from the same culture. They're from the same village. They're your cousin, for example.
Okay.
Right. And this is kind of pushed and forced upon people because, I don't know, it's just become a kind of societal norm. This, can be argued, is not a good form. I mean, it's not nahi anil munkar because Islam denies, it actually chooses us to go against these kinds of cultural restrictions and to actually go for, in that case, you know, nahi anil munkar would actually be to say, no, this is not the right thing to do. A person should be free to marry outside of their race, outside of their culture and their
nationality. Actually, I think there is a misconception here. I'm not telling you about the cultural restriction. I'm telling you about the cultural differences. You know, I think sometimes it doesn't matter you are better or you're worse than that person you are, for example, telling to do something. The matter is sometimes you are not in a level to understand what is good and what is not.
Uh-huh.
How should you standardize yourself that you are at the level to do that? For example, you're in a situation that there are two people and you know that from these two people, one of them is wrong. One of them is doing something wrong, okay? But you are not sure about your thought and you think you are not achieving that sort of maturity to go between two and tell them what to do and what not to do. You know what I mean? As a youth generation, I have this problem actually. Sometimes I have this feeling that I don't have enough maturity to go there and tell them what to do or what not to
do. For example, two of your friends have had a fight or a disagreement about something and you don't know which one to side with?
Yeah, exactly. And also, there is another thing, despite this fact, that because of my age, for example, I'm from the youth generation. And for example, if I go to an old person and tell that person what to do or what not to do, they will laugh at me. And this is the fact, actually, because of that, maybe I cannot do that correctly in society,
well,
you know?
Okay, well, if you don't understand the problem, then maybe you should go and talk to each party and try to understand.
Nice solution. Thank you. I've got that.
Too much of a cliche? No, but that makes sense, right?
Yeah, so, that makes
sense. And then
sense.
Once you understand the solution,
mm-hmm.
then you should step in and say, well, you know, you're right and you're wrong. And I think that you should apologize to... A should apologize to B or B should.
Sure.
Sometimes you can discuss with yourself, and even that would actually help.
Yeah, I did it.
There's actually a hadith that says that everybody has two prophets,
mm-hmm.
two hujjas, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is the external hujja, and one of them is the internal hujja. The external hujja is the prophets and imams, alayhimu salam. And the internal hujja is the intellect, the aql.
Yeah.
And so we can actually actively discuss with our aql. Remove your emotions from it and actually just discuss with your aql and it will actually guide you.
So how about my second problem about my age? You know, I'm not acceptable that much in society to go and do these actually responsibility of myself. And, you know, their reaction, you know, is somehow like, okay, how dare you to do that?
The best advice that I've ever gotten about this was from a good friend of mine, Sheikh Ali. He actually comes here once in a while as well.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, look, when you're talking to your parents, for example, do not try to approach them intellectually.
Mm-hmm.
Don't come with intellectual arguments. Don't bring them logic. Don't bring them proof. Because whatever you say, they'll turn around and be like, you think you know more than me.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? You have to approach them emotionally. And what do you mean by emotionally? Your dad's doing something or your mom's doing something that you know is wrong. Don't go to them, the hadith says this, the Quran says this, or, you know, this is going to have this problem for you. No, go to them and let's say, Dad, you know, Mom, it really hurts my feelings when you do this because I want to see the best in you. Or you say, you know, that person actually said this good thing about you and I feel like they feel this way about you. I don't know. It's really strange and complicated. But the older generation is kind of stubborn when it comes to youths. They don't like being taught
what to do and what not to do. Yeah.
Man, look at the hadith, right? That beautiful story. That old man, he was doing wudu wrong.
Yeah.
Like he was proper. Like he was just like throwing water in his face. I don't know what he was doing. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Imam Hassan alayhi salam, they're youths at the time. So what do? They didn't go to him and say, hey, old man, you're doing it wrong. This is how you do it. Imam Hassan said to Imam Hussein, can you tell me if I'm doing it right? And he did it in the right way. It's really cool, but as youths, we have to be really clever and indirect. You know, when they disagree with something that you're doing in your life, you say, you know, but mom, but dad, you raised me to always speak the truth, or you raised me to always be diligent, and that's why I'm pursuing this path, or something like that, right?
I think this religion and this beautiful religion, and even the word Islam, which means being obedient towards God, is the story of our life. And always this story is touchable for me, that how can a guideline actually covers all of the parts of a human being life, and that is always so touching for me. And I think there is always something to learn, there is always something to understand from these beautiful stories of history of Islam, I think.
Unfortunately, that's all we have time for, though.
Yeah. I wanted to go and move on for this episode, but unfortunately, this is all the time we have for today's episode, dear listeners. So I hope you enjoy the discussion of today, and I bid you farewell. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.